the words of Jesus, "Come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Anthony Peck, husband of an American supermodel and son of the actor Gregory Peck, in a newspaper interview which was entitled "Living in the Shadow of a Legend," tells of his struggle with addiction as he tried to cope with the burden of being so closely related to those with super fame, super ability, and super good looks. It was a surprisingly heavy load that he found almost impossible to bear, and that burden for sure took its toll on his life. The people that Jesus was speaking to here in this passage had that kind of relationship, but not with a father or a mother or a husband or wife or a brother or a sister. Here were people who had that kind of relationship with the law of Moses. I guess we could say they lived in its shadow. We catch a little glimpse of that in Acts 15, chapter 10, where Peter says this: "Now then, why do you try and test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear?" So we talked about the law of Moses in terms of a heavy yoke, too heavy to bear. Need to remember too that these people lived in the era and under the influence of the Pharisees, those fanatical religious leaders. So they'd taken God's law, which was designed for the good of God's redeemed people, and they'd hijacked it with their strict legalistic interpretations. And what they'd done to that law, and to their shame, was added loads of sub-laws. Loads and loads of sub-laws. When Jesus spoke of the Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 4, he put it like this: "They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on people's shoulders." What a heavy burden these people had to live with. What a great weight these people carried around with them in their everyday lives. So maybe these three words were ever present for them. Maybe these three words were constantly with them as they lived in that shadow: failure, guilt, and tiredness. So failure, guilt, and tiredness. A failure, continually falling short, always failing to meet the mark. And then guilt, so forever carrying around those feelings of unworthiness or self-blame and regret. And tiredness, constantly trying to do your best, the exhaustion of trying to do good, but it's never good enough, and always having to try even harder next time. Maybe these people live in that kind of world. So if the Lord of God was their means of relating to God, of being right with God, then who could conform? Who could match up to that? It was too big. It was too tough. It was too heavy. Who had the ability to keep it? Who had the strength to carry it? Who had the energy to keep it up? What a burden that law was to them. What a shadow it must have cast. So into that culture, into that context, what a breath of fresh air it must have been to hear Jesus stand up and say, "Come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Come to me, and I will give you rest. In his congregation, surely there were people who were longing for rest. I'd like to show you tonight something of the rest that Jesus speaks to these weary people. And hopefully as well, I'll show you how Jesus speaks beyond them to us here tonight. So let's notice first of all then the invitation that we see in those verses. So really looking at verses 28 through to 30. What we have here in the words of Jesus is a simple invitation, come. Simple invitation, come. But it's not simply an invitation. It's a personal invitation. Come to me. And it's not only a personal invitation, it's an open invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So let's look at the personal nature of this, first of all, the personal invitation. One of the things I want you to see tonight, one of the things I want you to know tonight is who this invitation is for, but I don't want you to miss who this invitation is from, because that's where we're going to begin. Who this invitation is from. Did you notice the recurring use of the words me and my in the passage? 7 times in just those few verses. Who is the me of this invitation? Come to me. Who is the me of this invitation? The me of verse 28, the me who offers the invitation, is the me of verse 27. All things, all power have been handed over to me. That's really significant if you're to weigh up this invitation. Who is it who's inviting you? Who will you be coming to? Well, do you know that language of verse 28? You know, it's very similar to the kind of language you find in Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, which speaks of Jesus. Let me read those words to you. And behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the ancient days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. The me of verse 28 is the me of verse 27. Come to me, all things have been handed over to me. Same person. So if you're going to respond to this invitation tonight, you will not be coming to a GP. You're not going to be coming to a psychiatrist. You're not going to be coming to a self-help guru or a life coach, or an institution. You're going to be coming to one uniquely able and willing to handle, to carry your heaviest life burdens, whatever those burdens might be, however heavy those burdens might be, however many those burdens might be. You're coming to one who is able. He is able. All things have been placed into my hands. This person has a safe pair of hands. One to whom God the Father has entrusted all things. All things placed into his hands. His hands are big enough to carry your heaviest burdens. He's the Son of Man, spoken of in Daniel. All power, authority, dominion given to him. He is able. You're coming to one who is able. But you're also coming to one who is willing. You're coming to one who is willing. So with those hands that he invites you, we're able to see in those hands, if you like, the nail-pierced hands. Who is the me of verse 28? He's the Son of Man, the one with all authority. But he's the same Son of Man who came in all humility. The Son of Man who willingly came to the cross. The Son of Man who willingly opened his hands to the nails. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. In going to the cross, Jesus really showing there the extent that he was willing to go to carry your heaviest life burdens. So he is not only able, he is willing. He demonstrated that as he went to the cross. He is able, he is willing. Hands tough enough to carry all power, yet hands tender enough in love to surrender them to the nails of the cross. Those same hands are tough enough to carry your heaviest burdens. They're tender enough to carry your most delicate load. Whatever it is that's weighing you down tonight, Jesus has both the power and the will to lighten that load. Who is the me? Of verse 28, it's Jesus, the Son of Man. He is able, he is willing. And as Joseph Hart says in his hymn, doubt no more. Doubt no more. So it's a personal invitation. Notice then that it's an open invitation. By saying, come to me, Jesus was conveying an exclusiveness in the invitation, saying, you won't find this rest anywhere else. This rest is exclusively found in me. I'm uniquely able and willing to offer you the rest that you need. So in that sense, it's exclusive. But will you notice too, the inclusive nature of this invitation? He says, come to me all. Come to me all who are weary and unburdened. This is not just a personal invitation. This is an open invitation. I don't know if you've ever tried to create a wedding list. It's a really, really tough thing to do as you kind of work out who are you going to invite, especially when you've got a limited budget. It's a really, really difficult thing. It's the cause of much discussion and probably much family argument as well. So you've got this auntie that you've not seen or spoken to for years. You feel you should invite her, but there's people you'd rather invite than this distant aunt. And it's really tough. Who do you invite? What do you do? How do you discern who to invite? So you probably sit down with your wife-to-be or whoever's paying for the reception and the night and come up with some kind of criteria. You try and narrow down the eligibility for the invitation. Then if you've ever received an invitation and you find yourself reading it sort of two or three times, you read it over and over again, trying to work out if you've been invited to the reception and the night or just the night do. Sometimes the wordings are a little bit funny. You want to be clear. You don't want to get it wrong. You want to know, am I included here? So what do? You read the invitation over and over again just to double check. Should we just double check who's invited here? Should we just look at the invitation? Again, let's just check who's eligible so we don't get this wrong. He really does say all. He says all. And Jesus doesn't specify the type of burden. He doesn't specify the weight of burden. He doesn't specify the complexity of the burden or the number of burdens. Just that you are burdened. Anyone here tonight, burdened? Heavy laden. Weary in one way or another. So maybe you're here tonight and you're burdened in the same kind of way as those people we spoke of in the introduction. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel that kind of burden in relationship to God and His law. You kind of have this feeling of guilt, of failure, of weariness, exhaustion in trying to do your good, in trying to do good, to try and do your best. Maybe you're burdened in that way. Or maybe you're burdened in some other way, the heaviness of life. Maybe the difficulty of circumstances. You know, you fill the blanks in here. If you can say, yes, I'm burdened, then you can say, yes, I'm invited. Because He says all. Weary, heavy laden. If that's you, this is for you. I don't know, as you start to let that sink in. I don't know even now if you can feel that burden lightening as you realize your eligibility. As you hear from someone who cares enough for you to include you, to invite you, to want you to come. And not just anybody. This is from the Son of Man. The one who has all power. The one who is able. The one who came in all humility, the one who was willing. Maybe you thought you'd have to carry that burden alone. Maybe you thought you'd never be free from that shadow. Maybe you thought you'd have to limp through life with a ball and chain. So will you hear the words of this invitation from Jesus? Simply, come to me. In hearing that, please don't despise the invitation because of its simplicity. Don't do that. Please just take it as it is. Do what you're invited to do. Do what you're eligible to do. Come to Jesus. The only way to receive from Jesus what He's promised is to respond to the invitation by coming. So we have an invitation that's personal, come to me. We have an invitation that's open, all who are burdened. And it's an invitation with a promise. That's the next thing we're going to note from these words. It's an invitation with a promise. There's nothing vague or ambiguous about what Jesus says here. It's an invitation with a promise. It's too clear to miss. Come to me and I will give you rest. Literally, come to me and I will rest you. I will rest you. It's an invitation with a promise. What's He promising? Rest. Relief. There's a huge market for rest in our 365, 24/7 society. I think there's a huge market for rest because there's a huge demand for rest. Rest is actually highly desirable in our 21st century restless world. Just look at the number of adverts there are for holidays. Just look at the number of competition prizes there are offering spa breaks. They're everywhere. Come away for a little R&R, some rest and relaxation. And there's something about the promise of rest that resonates with us. There's something deep within that wants it, that wants to respond, that wants to win that competition, that wants to go on that holiday. There's something in the fabric of our being longing for a quality of rest. But before we let our imagination run wild, before you pack your bags to the Bahamas, we really need to ask, what kind of rest is Jesus promising here? we need to ask that, because if we don't, we're going to get this all wrong. What kind of rest is Jesus offering here? Well, the promise can't really be referring to the rest of, say, a retirement. It can't be referring to the rest of, say, a redundancy or a permanent holiday. It can't possibly mean that. The promise can't mean the absence of work because of what he says next. He says, take my yoke upon you. A yoke is indicative of work. Learn from me, he says. So the life of a student, contrary to popular belief, involves study. A classroom involves work. It can't mean retirement, redundancy, permanent holiday. Do you know, we don't really have to play any guessing games with the definition here, because Jesus tells us plainly the kind of rest that he's promising. Jesus is promising rest for our souls. Rest for our souls. Let's just take a closer look at what he's promising as we kind of think upon that instruction. The instruction of take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Let me start by saying this has nothing to do with eggs. And, you know, you might chuckle, but, you know, I've sat down with people who have really been confused enough to ask the question, what does he mean? What's eggs got to do with what's being said here? So yoke's got nothing to do with eggs in this context. A yoke was often a wooden bar that would be fastened to animals, which would fasten animals together in order for them to pull or carry a heavy weight or a load. It might be a carriage, it could be a plow. Doesn't it therefore seem really strange? Doesn't it seem like a really strange picture for Jesus to be using in relationship to rest? We might have expected Jesus to say here, take a break. But no, he says, take a yoke. Not take a break, take a yoke. There seems on the surface of things a glaring contradiction here. How, in taking something on, a yoke, can I take something off my burden? Surely if we're to take a rest, we take the yoke off, not put it on. One of the phrases that burnout people often use is, I've taken too much on, or I can't take anything else on. But that's the very thing Jesus is telling us to do in order to find rest. What does Jesus mean? What was Jesus talking about here? To be yoked is to be connected. To be yoked is to be connected. That's what's behind the imagery of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Remember that famous line, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So think of this for a moment. Think of an ox being yoked to a donkey. Just think about that. What's going to happen if they're strapped to a carriage or a plow? Well, that's going to cause all kinds of tension, stress, difficulty, directional conflict and pain. That's what's going to happen. Why shouldn't Christians be intimately joined to unbelievers? Because it's an unequal yoking, because of the fundamental difference in who they are. And therefore it's a recipe for tension, stress, difficulty, directional conflict and pain. What does it mean to be yoked? It means to be intimately connected. To be yoked is profoundly relational. The heart of this rest that Jesus is promising is a relationship. The rest, the relief, the lifting, the lightening of this load is found in connection, in relationship, in union with Jesus. Or we could say it the other way around. This soul's rest cannot be found apart from Jesus. You cannot take this rest if you will not take this yoke. Apart from Jesus, you remain disconnected from God. You remain disconnected from the God who made us. You remain separated from the purposes which God made you for. And as a result, your soul will be perpetually restless. Constantly, always, uneasy, searching for that missing piece in life. You may try this and that. You may look for it here and there. But your heart is never truly at rest. Augustine of Hippo, who searched everywhere and tried everything to satisfy his soul's restlessness, famously said, "God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Coming to Jesus, being yoked to Jesus, coming to him in faith sorts that out, connects you, reconnects you to the God who made you, the God who made you to glorify him and enjoy him forever. Yoked, we find our soul's rest. Yoked, we're no longer looking for, we're no longer working for that soul's rest. We have it. It's found uniquely in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this for a moment. If Jesus is promising rest for your soul, then once you have it, then here is a rest you no longer need to take, but here is a rest you can take with you wherever you go, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Let me say that again. If Jesus is promising rest for your soul, then once you have it, here is a rest you no longer need to take, but is a rest you can take with you wherever you go. What he's promising us in relationship with himself is a deep-seated foundational rest that we're able to have even when we're at work, even in the midst of a busy schedule. So let's bring all of that into the room tonight. Let's start applying that personally here. What if you're here tonight weary, heavy laden, carrying a crushing burden, maybe even carrying many burdens? What if you're here tonight like that? Why might that be? Why might that be? Well, maybe it's because you've never, in fact, come to Jesus in the first place. Maybe you've never, in childlike faith, come to the Savior to have your sins forgiven, to have your relationship with God restored, put right. You're still disconnected, and that disconnection is the source of your restlessness. Do you know that word yoke was not only used of animals, it could also be used of a conqueror, someone who comes and overthrows a rule, a regime, and reigns victorious. And so it would be said of the defeated nations that they lived under the yoke of a conqueror, that they lived under their rule and authority, that they had surrendered. I wonder if you're restless because you're still fighting. I wonder if you're restless because you're still trying to work it out, trying to fight it through on your own. Jesus invites you tonight, if that's you, to put your weapons down, to put your tools down, and come and surrender to Him. Come to me. Do you know Jesus went to the cross to take upon Himself the heaviest burden imaginable? And it was on the cross He bore our yoke. He took our yoke upon Himself, the yoke of our sin, the yoke of our failure, the yoke of our debt, the yoke of our guilt, the yoke of our punishment. He bore it as He died. He broke it as He rose again. He bore that yoke. He broke that yoke so that we could live free from that yoke, so that we need never carry it again. What should you do if that's you? Guilty. Feeling a failure. Tired in doing good. What should you do? You should come. Come to Jesus humble, gentle, not as a warrior, not as a worker, but as a child in faith and ready to receive. That's what you should do. But what if you've come here tonight and you've already come to Jesus in that way? You've come to Jesus in the way that I've described, but you're here tonight and you're still weary, heavy laden, you're carrying a crushing burden, or maybe you're carrying many burdens. Why might that be? Just make a few suggestions as we draw to a close. Maybe in coming to Christ and receiving the free grace of His salvation, maybe in receiving that, over time, somehow you defaulted back to works, a works mentality. And somehow you're living your Christian life trying to impress God. Trying to pay Him back in some way. Trying to earn His approval. Maybe you've burdened yourself in that way. Or maybe it's not God you're trying to impress. Maybe it's others you're trying to impress. Trying to earn their approval or prove a point or gain their recognition. They are heavy burdens that Christian people were never meant to carry. Jesus says, my burden is light. No need to carry these kind of heavy burdens. What should you do if that's you tonight? You should come to Jesus. You should come again to Jesus and He will give you rest. But what if you have a different kind of burden? That's not your burden, but that's not your burden. Maybe your weariness, maybe your heaviness is related to some other kind of burden. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's an unanswered prayer. Maybe it's a trying circumstance. Are you excluded from finding rest in Jesus? How does this promise apply to you? If that's you, what should you do? If that's you, if you're burdened in that way, you too should come to Jesus. And in doing so, will you be reminded of the most profound and energizing implication of being yoked to Him? What am I talking about? Simply this. The greatest thing about being united to Jesus is that you're united to Jesus. The greatest thing about being yoked to Jesus is that you're yoked to Jesus. He is inescapably with you in every trial and circumstance of life. And in Him, every spiritual blessing is yours. Martin Luther said it like this, Christ's burden is light because He helps us bear it. And when it becomes too heavy for us, He puts Himself under the load. You too should bring your burdens to Jesus. Lord Jesus, this is too heavy for me. Will you help me bear it? You said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. As my good shepherd, you said you'd be with me in the darkest of valley. Would you come and help me carry this? I'm afraid. I'm tired. Would you come and strengthen me afresh? Will you help me to see the eternal, the invisible? Will you give me eyes to see those things because I'm burdened, I'm tired? Come to Jesus and pray those kind of prayers. Learn from me, he says. Learn from me. There are so many lessons to learn here. Christians are prone so often to get this wrong. Our time's gone and we don't really have the time tonight really to learn any more lessons from this. But please, please don't go home tonight with your burdens. Will you? But will you go home with this message? Will you go home with this lesson learned? Rest for our souls. Whatever our burden might be, however heavy that burden might be, however many those burdens might be, rest is found in coming to Jesus. Coming in humility, in childlike trust, in a willingness to learn from one who is uniquely able and willing to carry our every burden for us. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.